In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. I don't know whether you know that song that we've just sang. It has a particular affection for me. I used to go to a little church in Wales that was a tin hut, really, a green tin hut. And one of the songs that we used to regularly sing was the song that we had printed in our sheets, I Surrender All. And it's a wonderful invitation, a Lenten invitation, to give everything to God. And as we travel through this period towards Easter, constantly we are asking ourselves about his call upon our life, and it's very important. I don't know what makes you angry. Jesus, in our reading today, is angry. He overturns the tables and the money changers, casts out the cattle and the animal life from the temple because it was false religion. It made him deeply angry. John puts it at the very beginning of his gospel, because he is saying in his gospel that a change is coming. The other gospels put it at the end. But right at the very beginning, he says, here's the change that will come through the death and resurrection of Jesus, because he is the new temple. And Christ is against false religion. What makes me angry is so much that's wrong in the world today. You'll know that we had a murder in our parish, just about 100 metres from here as the crow flies. A young man was stabbed to death on Monday. They'd had an altercation on Friday night, the young man and the person who got killed. And the young man returned on the Monday to the house. And again, there was an argument, and the young man took out a flick knife and stabbed the 31-year-old. And he ran out of the house, both the young man, and then he was chased by the older man who'd been stabbed, and the 31-year-old collapsed in the street and died. And you'll know that the air ambulance came and tried to resuscitate him, and they landed on the church field here. Tragic. That makes me very angry. These things that are very now close to home. And by the way, it's very important that Christians get angry about things in the world. It worries me when people are indifferent and just passive and nothing really seems to upset them. Maybe they get upset by the fact that they have to queue in for the checkout in a supermarket. Or they get upset because somebody cuts them up and chases them to the lights, and I don't know, but there are some things that we really need to get angry about in the world, and we need to turn the tables because of what's happening in government, in Gaza, in the Ukraine, on our streets. I was reading yesterday that there have been 350 women killed since the murder of Sarah Everard. 350 women in our own country. That means one woman, and by the way, these are all done by men to women, 350 women killed by men since Sarah Everard. That's one woman every 3 days. So women are vulnerable. Those who are here today, we are vulnerable. We need to get angry about some of these things. The huge inequalities in the world. Again, I was listening this week that there are three people in the United States who have more wealth than the lower 50% of the rest of the population. You think about that. Huge inequalities. Maybe we need to overturn the tables of such inequality. In our own government, you might despair at the way that things are being governed in our own country at the present time, and we need to pray deeply. So do use the kneelers. We need to pray deeply for those in government and those in authority, our leadership. We saw the events of the by-election that occurred on Thursday. And our own nation is in turmoil wherever we go. It's on our streets, it's out there, it's in our schools. And so we need to pray. We were studying this week, if you were part of our Lent group, when we say what is wrong with the world, Paul gives a very definite answer to that. And he says, all have sinned and come short of God's glory, all of us. And by the way, that means those people who are religious, those of us who attend church, all of us have sinned and come short of God's glory. So there is a sense that even in our own life, we need to overturn the tables and do something about our own response to the living God. And Jesus was angry about the religious leaders. If you remember, he was most critical of those who are religiously in authority. And so we need to pray for the church and Christian leaders across our nation. You need to pray for me. And so I was wanting us today to look at our little sheet. And I'm going to read this to you because it's so important. It's called Lent 3. Can you take it? Lent 3. It's on the same sheet as the songs that we've just sang. Lent 3. Has everybody got it? Because I'm not going to start until we've got it. Lent 3. You see, what we need in our country is real Christian faith. We need to overturn false religion. We need to have a relationship with Christ. So I'm going to read this to you because it's so, so important. And if you're not sure whether you're a Christian this morning, you need to really take note of this. Maybe you've been coming to church for a very long time, but you're not really sure of your faith. You need to listen to this and take note of it. We need to overturn our own table and come alive to what is real in Christianity. I want you to listen to this as I read it because it's so, so important as we come to this third Sunday of Lent. Please take note of this, Lent 3. It's on our sheet and I'm going to read it. Real Christianity is not about church going, creeds, conduct, or ceremonies, though it involves all of them. Real Christianity is about a relationship with Jesus, with Christ. Jesus was not a mythical character like Santa, but a real historical person. He divides BC from AD. And these are some very famous historians, Jewish historians, C. Tacitus, Annals, 1544, or Josephus, the Antiquities, 1833, rather. For secular writers who attest to his birth, teaching, execution by the Romans, the rumor of his resurrection, the start of the early church. Hints as to his identity come in two names given to him at his birth. Emmanuel, God with us. And then he was given the name Jesus, which means God to the rescue. Truly human, yet his fulfillment of countless prophecies, the authority of his teaching, the character of his life, his claims to forgive sin and accept worship and to be the world's final judge, coupled with his life of love and healing and his sacrificial death and his wonderful resurrection, combined to persuade many that God had indeed come among them in Jesus. Here next. He came to deal with our alienation from God. In his holiness, God cannot accept our guilt and rebellion. In his love, he took responsibility for it himself on the cross. And just before he died, Jesus cried, "It is finished." The job of reconciling us to God was complete on the cross. His resurrection got the church started. He died to carry the guilt of human sin and your sin. He lives to break its power in your life. More, his resurrection released him from the confines of human bodies, that his spirit could come into the lives of those who trust him. And that's why we pray constantly here, come Holy Spirit. Now, how do you become a Christian? Here it is, if you're not sure. How do I even get in touch with Jesus? How do I come to know him? It is as simple as A, B, C, D. Now, if you don't get this now, I want you to take this home and read it later. Sit somewhere quiet and read it again and pray a little prayer. But here we go, A, B, C, D. First of all, A, to become a Christian, there is something to admit. We have to admit that we are estranged from God, all of us, that we need God, and are slaves to self-centeredness and to sin. Even if we could live a perfect life from now on, the past would still dog us. In order to get started, we need to recognize this and have the willingness to change. So that's A. Admit there is something wrong with you and with me. B. There is something that we must believe. Here is what we must believe, that Jesus has done all that is necessary to bring us back to God. If you want to know God, discover Jesus. His death dealt with our sin, and his risen life makes a new life for us possible. So we have to believe in Jesus and believe that what he has done for us is enough to bring us back to God the Father. And then C, A, B, C, there is something to consider. Before you say yes to this, you have to realize there is a huge cost to discipleship. As I said last week, it could cost you your very life. Although the entrance fee for the Christian life is completely free, it's by grace, it's given. Jesus has paid it. The annual subscription is all that we have, everything that we have. We give everything to him. And that's why we sang earlier, I surrender all. We cannot serve God and the God of materialism. We need to be willing to go public about our faith and get into Christian fellowship. And at the same time, there will be opposition to face as well. The more often you become a Christian and the more committed you become, the greater opposition you will often see, sometimes from your own family. D, there is something that we must do. Here it is. We have to accept the gift that is Jesus. He says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. He is excluded from our lives until we ask him in. So the question for all of us today, have we asked Jesus into our life? Have we opened the door and say, come in? Or is he still outside knocking on the door? We've never really invited him into our life. But when we do, he promises that he will come in. And he does not break his word. If you have genuinely asked him to come in, then he will come in and change should be evident. So to finish today, let us overturn our own lives and think about our response to Jesus. Let us think about this wonderful verse and maybe go away, pray about it. If you're not sure you're a Christian, then go away and invite him into your life and into your family and into your future and say, come, Lord, I need you. And this wonderful verse to finish with, here it is. Jesus says, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in. So visualize yourself today if you're not sure you're a Christian. And Jesus is standing at the door of your life and knocking. And you can open the door and invite him in and say, come, Lord, I need you. I surrender all. That's overturning the tables of our own life. And it's wonderful to think about this, the third Sunday of Lent. Amen. I want you to take that and read it, will you? Maybe you weren't even listening to what I said, or you were distracted thinking about a thousand other things as the way the world is at the moment. But do take it and read it and pray about it. It could be transformative for you.
Let us pray for the church and the world, and let us give thanks for God's goodness. Lord Jesus, we know that there are so many tables in our own lives that need to be overturned, because beneath the veneer of our respectability and the tidy rows of our seemingly ordered lives, there are so many hidden weaknesses and failures. Lord, you know what they are, our temptations, our indifference to those in need, our selfishness, our careless judgment of others not like ourselves. Come today, Lord Jesus, and help us to rearrange the furniture of our lives so that our words, action, and attitudes become transparent to your love. Forgive us when we allow social attitudes, the disbelief of our friends and relatives, the indifference of others, or even our own embarrassment, to diminish our witness to the good news of the gospel. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord Jesus, give us the courage and determination to stand up for your kingdom, to loosen ourselves from this world, to invite you into our lives through your grace, to embrace the freedom of your kingdom on earth. Lord, show us what our lives could be like if only we trusted more in your promises. Show us what we could do to support those in need, to feed the hungry, to heal the brokenhearted, to minister to our troubled world. When we turn away from these challenges, help us to remember your sacrifice on the cross and give us the courage to lose a little more of ourselves to serve you and the world around us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God of our universe, give wisdom to all those who exercise authority in our country and across the world. Teach them to put the needs of the many before self-interest and greed. Help them to love truth and turn away from falsehood and corruption. Father God, we pray for all those in authority. We pray for our government and the practical, moral, and financial challenges we expect it to confront on our behalf. We pray for the peaceful resolution of conflicts arising from racial and religious differences. We pray your blessing on religious and community leaders, that their priorities will be to encourage reconciliation and discourage extremism. Give us the confidence to question the decisions made by institutions and those in authority which fail to build up our common life to support those in greatest need. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Father God, we pray for the world you have created, so much in need of your healing touch. We pray for those surrounded by violence, whether from war, crime, or domestic abuse. We pray for all those affected by the stabbing in Hamilton Crescent. We pray for the people of Gaza, for the hostages held by Hamas, and for the people of Israel. And we pray for peace in the Ukraine. We pray for those involved in crime, whether by choice or coercion, those who have turned to crime to pay for their addictions. We pray for all those who are imprisoned. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father God, we pray for this church, for Lyndon, for Barbara, for David, for our church wardens, for our PCC. We pray for the community which we serve in your name. Lord God, hear the cries of those who yearn for healing, both physical and spiritual. Those hurting, weakened, and depressed. We pray especially for Sue Baker, Phil Brown, Eve Doyle, Robinson and Robina Hesiene, Teresa Milosofikova, Jean Murch, Jean Neath, Joyce Nicolay, Pam Story, Janet Texera, Esme Williams, Sally, Susan and Richard, Angela Zadurian. We pray for all those who lost their lives in the tragic events surrounding the food aid convoy in northern Gaza. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord Jesus, during this time of our Lenten journey, journey with us into our wilderness. Give us the courage to examine the desert places in our lives. Help us to face the adversaries in our lives which tempt us away from being the person you have created us to be. Be our guide, our strength, our Saviour. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.